Has the whole world gone totally crazy? I mean, totally?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I mean, feeling just like everything's gone crazy around you, that you suddenly realize how sick and needy this world is. Yeah, I know we're aware of it all the time. I know we feel it all the time on a certain level. But do you ever have just things happening around you or one thing in particular, and you think, oh my God, what happened? Did I wake up in some kind of nightmare somewhere? This is Michael Brown, your friendly voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And you better believe we need a gospel-based moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And I'm going to be giving you some shocking examples of that today. For some, it's going to add fuel to your fire. For some, it's just going to strengthen your resolve and conviction in a deeper way. For some, it's going to be eye-opening. But whatever I say, don't throw in the towel. Don't think all hope is lost. Let me tell you why. The world's been messed up since Adam and Eve sinned. The world's been messed up since the fall. I mean, how much more messed up do you get than our first parents sinning against God in a perfect environment and then their first son killing their second son? That's how it starts. So the world has been messed up, and God has had to judge us before. And if not for the fact that he has withheld judgment and restrained from judging, he would have destroyed the whole earth a long time ago. And we know that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, because the world's already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. And he came to seek and save the lost. So we are here in the right place at the right time with the right message about the only true God. So this is what we're made for. At the same time, we need to recognize the craziness of the world around us, the urgency of the hour, and the destructive power of sin. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines, not for your general Bible questions, unless it relates specifically to what I'm talking about. Right? If you have a Bible-related question that relates to the topic we're discussing today, that's fine. But otherwise, the phone lines are open for this. Can you give me an example from your world, from your life experience, that has just, it hits you between the eyes like, oh man, what has happened to this world? What, it's gone crazy. Maybe something happened with one of your kids in school. Maybe you're a college student and something on your own campus. Maybe something you've read in the news recently or experienced firsthand. Give me a call with your best example of how this world has gone crazy. 866-34-TRUTH. Many of you who've read my book, Saving a Sick America, know the way I start the book off. There's a man living in the suburbs with his family, wife, and three kids, suburbs of Pennsylvania. It's the early 1960s. He's coming home from work. It's summer. The kids have been out playing all day, riding their bikes out with friends. I think, what, they're 9, 13, 15, ages around there, if I recall how I laid it out. And he's coming home, it's family night, you know, they played Monopoly game night last night, tonight it's TV night, they're going to watch Leave It to Beaver and things like that, and kids get to stay up a little later, and you know, exciting time and all that. Well, he falls asleep while watching Leave It to Beaver and wakes up and it's today. So you get literally from Leave It to Beaver to Secret Diary of a Call Girl. You go from Lassie to Game of Thrones. I go on and on with examples, and then what's happening with his own kids today and his family and the shock of it. And he wakes up thinking, oh, man, it was just a nightmare. Well, every so often, because of the inundation of crazy stuff around me, around us, every so often I have that experience again. I'm like, what world do we live in? And you see, here's the problem. And Ephesians 4 speaks of it. Romans 1 speaks of it. It is the hardening of the heart. And with the hardening of the heart comes increasing insensitivity. And because of that, we become numb, we become dull. things that would have shocked us a few years ago don't shock us anymore. Look, any of you that went the way of addiction, bad habits and things like that that ended up life controlling, you never expected to end up where you ended up. But along the way, you got numb and dull and dependent and addicted. I went from smoking pot as a 14-year-old kid and not planning on doing anything beyond that at 14 to shooting heroin at 15. And I assure you, if you told me I was going to go that route when I first smoked pot, I would have said, that's not possible. There's no way. I don't intersect with that world. I'm not that kind of person. But soon enough, I was intersecting with that world, and I was that kind of person. It's the same way. You might be entertained by something, and someone says, yeah, well, this leads to this. Nah, never happen. And then you end up being entertained by stuff that would have repulsed you a while ago, but you get used to it. So we're in a situation today in the world in which the society around us is getting increasingly insane, increasingly losing its bearings, increasingly caught up with deception. And because we're around it as it's happening gradually, then it happens more rapidly. But our hearts have been hardened. Our consciences have become insensitive. So part of what I want to do today is awaken that conscience afresh. Let me start with this example of the crazy world in which we live today. A Planned Parenthood affiliate in Kentucky tweeted this out a few days back. It was this word, this sentence over and over. Some men have a uterus. Yeah, uh-huh. This is a Planned Parenthood affiliate in Kentucky. Some men have a uterus. And the tweet just repeats that. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is it 10 times? This is not just insanity. You say, well, what are they even saying? What they're saying is that there are biological women made by God with a uterus so that they could have babies who now identify as men. And therefore, you could say some men have a uterus. The tweet was liked, what, over 75,000 times. And I just assumed that it got that much attention because of people like me and other conservatives that wrote about it and pointed out the insanity of it. I tweeted out that long ago Planned Parenthood lost its heart. I meant in its inception, it's lost its heart. Now it's lost its mind. But one of my staff members started looking at the comments and said, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of positive comments. Lots and lots and lots of positive comments of people saying yes and don't judge. You think, what? Some men have a uterus. That's like on college campuses now. That they want to have tampons in the men's room because some men menstruate. No. Listen. Men don't menstruate. Men don't have uteruses. You say, are you saying that there's no possibility of someone with a biological or chromosomal disorder that has a... Oh, I know there are people with biological and chromosomal disorders. And someone, say, who is born female, and then as she grows up, begins to develop male or the opposite. We're not talking about biological chromosomal abnormalities. We're talking about people's perceptions, people simply believing a certain thing. Here, I'm going to prove to you that lions talk and lions speak. You say, how are you going to prove it? Because I identify as a lion. I believe I am a lion. And to the core of my being, I identify as a lion. And are you listening to me speak right now? Am I roaring or am I speaking? I'm speaking. Well, that proves that some lions speak. Yeah, that is as ludicrous, as ridiculous, as idiotic as saying some men have a uterus. What kind of world are we living in, friends? What kind of society are we in that actually accepts that kind of stuff and believes that kind of stuff? I asked on Twitter for folks to post some examples of some of the most extreme and crazy things that they've seen. Kristen posted this. I've got one. There is a company who makes pendant necklaces out of unused human embryos. They were confronted about the fact that they're literally making jewelry out of lives, but they remained adamant that they were not going to stop. This is the insanity of the world in which we live. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Anne, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I enjoy hearing you talk every day because you keep, you know, bringing up this transgender issue in a compassionate way, but I never would have expected that my daughter, who is now 15, would be going to school with transgender teenagers, and then she accept that in her mind, you know, she needs to accept them as they are and call them by the, you know, the name that they identify with, and use that pronoun. It's really important to her that the correct pronoun that they identify with be used. And I don't do it. And I'm seen by her friends as being outside of being right. But I behave kindly to her. We give her rides home from school. But to me, that's crazy. It's genetically, she's a girl. And I am outside of normality to refer to her as she.
And, isn't that extraordinary? You know, I'm scheduled to speak Thursday. So in 2 days, at my grandkids, two of our grandkids that live here, go to a Christian school, fine Christian school, and I'm speaking to kids 6th grade through 12th grade on Thursday about sexual issues, about homosexuality, about transgender issues. I'm scheduled to speak about those things, and I know the bulk of the kids are obviously going to be with me in a Christian school, but others, they'll be the same place your daughter's at, and they won't have that understanding, or it'll seem harsh to say what we're saying. And yeah, of course you want to be compassionate and you appreciate your daughter's heart. You know, these are friends, these are peers. But that girl, that is a girl. And to call her a boy is not helping her and not paving the way for a better future for her.
Well, I really appreciate the way that you phrase it because it's helped me in my conversations with her. I'm not sure how much I've opened her eyes, but it's keeping the conversation going.
Good.
Let's get back to reality. Let's get back to the facts.
Yeah, and Ann, let me suggest this. Go to my YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, ASK Dr. Brown on YouTube, and type in the word dragon. And then you'll see a video about the man who became a dragon. Sit down and watch that with your daughter. Please do, and then let us know. Give us a call or drop us a line what her thoughts are. The man who became a dragon. Just search for the word dragon on the Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, obviously Jesus is coming any minute. It has to be. The world's going too crazy. Look, I remember thinking like that in the early 1970s when I came to faith. And many through the centuries have felt like that. The world's going crazy. It's the end. Jesus is coming in any minute. Look, this could be that we're getting nearer to the end and everything is collapsing around us and normality is collapsing around us. And to be clear, I'm not saying some kid who's 15 years old, a boy that genuinely believes he's a girl, that this kid is the worst sinner or full of the devil. No, I'm saying that they're confused. And the best thing to do is not to cater to their confusion, but through compassion to reach out to them, to befriend them, and to help them to get to the root of the confusion so that they can be at home in the bodies that God gave them. And for some, that won't happen until they really come to know the Lord themselves. What I'm saying is that when perception becomes reality, then society around us gets completely unglued. 866-348-7884. What have you seen that has just caused you to say, has the world gone totally crazy all around us? Again, it's like you wake up one day and look at the world we're in, and it's gone berserk. Let me give you another example. And this is an example of the left devouring itself. The left devouring itself. that its own ideology becomes destructive. So there is a headline on Pink News, and it's announcing this. This is over in UK, university there, and it announces University of Bristol students vote to ban transphobic feminist speakers. Yeah, they're going to ban transphobic feminist speakers. So some famous feminists have taken exception to men who identify as women and saying, look, they're not really women. They are not biologically women. They don't relate to what a woman relates to biologically. They haven't lived their lives as women and understood the issues that a woman faces. And just like when Glamour magazine named Bruce Jenner Woman of the Year a couple years back, there were women saying, oh, so a man can be a better woman than a woman? Is that how it works? Well, now some of these speakers, some of them radical leftist feminists, are being banned from campuses or having their speeches protested because they don't accept transgender identified women. A man who identifies as a woman, they don't accept that. Again, this is an example of the left devouring itself. This is part of the insanity of the culture in which we live today. Look, when you have a breakdown in the most fundamental areas of society, not just marriage, not just family, not just parenting, not just the purpose of sex and sexuality, but the fundamental questioning of male and female categories, you're living in a realm of spiritual and moral confusion on a very, very deep level. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Anna in Charlotte. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, I am calling to see if I can articulate my problem. I am noticing more and more that I get accosted by men, and I just feel like I'm always prey, and they're the predator. I can't do things I want to do alone, like hiking. I can't garden. I can't even have my windows tinted in my car because I can't eat a banana without getting talked to dirty from guys in other cars. Mm. And I'm seeing it grow and grow. Some teenager boys passed me the other day. I smiled at them, and they called me so many derogatory names. It almost hurt my heart. And I'm just so concerned, and I would like to pick your brain about this. I'm just
Anna, how old are you?
Sure, I'm 32.
All right, so your early 30s, and you've seen a change, major change in your own lifetime.
Yeah, major. And I've lived in cities, Orlando, Miami, Charlotte, Columbia, and it's all around.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what it is the pervasive nature of pornography, the constant bombardment of pictures and images of women. I mean, this is for decades now, as sexual objects. The same society on the one hand that's crying out and the women saying, me too, I've been abused and exposing the Harvey Weinsteins and these others, is the same society that continues to put out constant sexploitation films, presents women as sexual objects, every kind of airbrushed picture. I mean, the endless bikini pictures of women, you know, on the front of just health magazines. This is for decades now. And then the massive increase in pornography and people getting exposed to it at younger and younger ages, that it's just, you're going to have an epidemic. You're always going to have, you know, you got construction workers at a site and some pretty lady walks by and they whistle and all that. I mean, that's been around as long as probably the human race has been around, you know, on some level.
I think it's getting more aggressive. It's getting closer to me. They're not afraid to say it to my face.
Yeah.
Instead of saying it, like yelling it from a car as I drive off. But I need your help because I feel disenchanted with the Bible. I don't feel like women are told that they're created as equals as men. I feel like we're copies of men. We're told we are. We're deceivers.
Yeah.
Is our value not as valuable?
No, let me say this, Anna, okay. and perhaps this will be helpful. number one, let's recognize that with a society that's degenerating in certain ways sexually, that you may have, you know, stats going up and down with kids born out of wedlock and different things like that over the years, and different stats going up and down with young people having sex or waiting, or whatever. Those things, you know, vary back and forth over the years. There's no question that there is an epidemic of pornography. And then with that as well, some of the violent video games also heavily sexualize women. So you're going to have guys getting more and more crass, more and more bold. Boundaries become less clear to them because of the perversion of their own lives, for sure. What I think you have to do is this. Number one, when you find your identity in Jesus and you're around believers, healthy believers, and people who love the Lord, then you realize first that in Jesus, of course, we're equal. In Jesus, men are not higher than women or women higher than men. It's true that many churches will have more women than men, and often women can be more prayerful and spiritually minded than men. That doesn't make women higher than men or men lower, okay? We need each other. We're dependent on each other. We're equal in Jesus. There's no caste system. There's no class system, all right? So we are one in the Messiah with equal access to God and equal ability to fulfill our calling. We need to teach that and emphasize that. At the same time, it's important, it's very important that we recognize that men are not women and women are not men. In other words, the way to find equality in the Lord is not by removing distinctives and forgetting that we each have particular roles, and men have certain roles in leadership that women may not have, and women have certain roles in different ministry aspects that men may not have. What we need to do is celebrate our distinctives, celebrate maleness and femaleness, celebrate distinctives in calling, celebrate the role that we play in the home and the role that men play and the role that women play. We celebrate that while we recognize our deep equality in Jesus. That's the healthy thing, not to remove differences and distinctions in calling and gifting and making, but rather to celebrate our equality in the Lord and then to recognize those distinctives. And then, of course, one thing you know, I just should assume that's a given, is obviously when a woman dresses in a way that is going to draw sensual attention to herself, you know, or goes to the beach 90% naked and then is surprised when guys make comments, or, you know, walks around in the most flirty, sensual clothes possible to draw attention to herself sexually, and guys comment on that, obviously she's asking for it. But when people are just going about their business and trying to be modest and conduct themselves, you know, and get harassed, it's ugly. It's terrible. And we need to draw attention to it. And it's critically important for us to train our in the church, to train young men to honor women and to esteem women and to appreciate women, and to be willing, if they're going to get married, that their posture is that they lay down their life for their wife to nurture and strengthen and help her. And as opposed to, I'm the head of this house, you're just going to wait on me hand and foot and do what I want you to do. So I think as we do, focus on that, and husbands set good examples for their sons, and wives set good examples for their daughters, and we model this in the society, that this can be a place where any woman comes in and she's around a bunch of believers, she's going to get respect. She's not going to be treated just like a sexual object or some second-class citizen. I'm so sorry that this is your experience, and may God protect you and surround you with godly friends as well. But thank you. Thank you for highlighting this. It's a plague in our society today. 866-34-TRUTH. And listen, no woman in her right mind is asking to be raped. No woman in her right mind is asking to be sexually harassed. When I say asking for it, I mean if a woman is dressed sensually and presents herself like that, she's asking for guys to look at her sensually. But no matter what, does any man have the right to violate her boundaries? No, 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 no. All right, we'll be right back. We're just getting started. Stay tuned. Change the world.
want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the New Testament makes some very clear statements. 1 John 5:19 says that we are of God, little children, but the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says that the god of this age, God of this world, has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. Of course, we all know Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All that to say, we're living in a very messed up world, and it's always been a messed up world. And there's never been a time in human history since the fall that the world has not been crazy and messed up. That being said, there are times when you just wake up and look at the world around you and think, has the whole world gone crazy? And it's interesting. I think it was last year, Franklin Graham was asked why he spoke about political and social issues more than his father did, more than Billy Graham did. And he said, when my father was going to school, they read the Bible in school. He's talking about public school, secular school. They read the Bible in school. In other words, it's a different world in which we're living. What about those who are raised within this world? What about those who are raised in this generation? How does the world look to them? I'm speaking for a few minutes with Liberty McCarter. Liberty is a staff writer at stream.org. She's got a bachelor's degree in journalism from Patrick Henry, and I enjoy reading her articles. She's a millennial. She's a clear-thinking millennial. She is biblically based, so she understands her generation firsthand and understands God's perspective through the Word firsthand and is addressing those things without compromise. Liberty, thanks for being with us on the broadcast today.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Brown. It's great to be here.
Now, I know you've been talking lately about some of the events surrounding the tragedy in Parkland, the shooting in Florida, and we can get to that. But I want to look at something larger. There, many times the older generation doesn't understand why the younger generation is so worked up about things. And, you know, this happens with every generation. You have these generation gaps and things like that. But this generation growing up now is growing up in a totally different environment with areas of sexuality, homosexuality, transgender issues, and things like that. Liberty for and a decreasing number of millennials have what we call a biblical worldview. How old are you, and what could you say in terms of the worldview of your peers? How much have things shifted in your view over a generation?
Well, I am 24 years old, so I qualify officially as a millennial. And I would say just from, you know, looking at a lot of my peers that grew up in the faith and maybe have left it or are still, you know, in the faith, we kind of grew up in, I think, a culture that for those of us who did go to church, it really focused on trying to make church cool and fun and not really all the time focusing on just preaching the pure gospel, which, as we've been reminded with the passing of Billy Graham, that's just what is so powerful. Nothing fancy, nothing special, but just the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I think, you know, there was that and church culture plus just kind of our parents' generation drifting away from the church as well. And so there's really a lack of guidance. We don't have that moral cohesion that we used to have in this nation. And there are a lot of questions popping up that past generations didn't really have to deal with, like a lot of the, you know, sexual immorality that you've been talking about today and other things. And so without that strong, you know, foundation that we didn't receive in our upbringing, or maybe that was kind of watered down in church for a lot of us, it's hard for us to navigate those issues. And I think it's really important to point out also that millennials have good hearts, I think, a lot of them. You know, they're very compassionate, very socially minded as far as social justice and everything, but without a moral compass, then it's easy to get swept up in a movement that is not biblical instead of, you know, realizing what the truth is about that.
And Liberty, you say something that's so critically important, and we often look at, well, millennials are this, millennials are that. Well, who raised the millennials? who is speaking into their lives? You know, there's the old saying, there's no such thing as a bad student, only a bad teacher. It's exaggerated. But when the whole class fails the class, you say the teacher did something wrong. So when you see something that is pandemic through a generation, you have to look at how that generation was raised and how they were parented and what was put into them. So it's a shared responsibility. Let me get your take on something. Maybe you could help us understand this. Guys, put up the YouTube video. This is a video that we did where I talk about drag queens reading to little children, toddlers, 2 years old, 3 years old, in libraries. This is becoming an increasing fad where drag queens are doing this. And somebody posted to the video where I talk about the insanity of this, a fellow named Jesus. I'm a devoted Christian. I read God's word. I see no problem with a drag queen reading to a toddler. When did God ever say someone in a costume is a threat? I think we should focus on bigger issues. If the Lord is my shepherd, I'm pretty sure that he doesn't want me giving place to ignorance and hate. Patience and love is the shop I'm on. Now, hearing that, it was one of the most outrageous things I could imagine. A drag queen reading to toddlers is off the charts insane. And here you have someone saying, I'm a devoted Christian, I read the word, and I'm into patience and love, not into ignorance and hate. Could you decipher this? I mean, what are people seeing and thinking that would allow them to come up with something like that?
Well, I think a lot of it comes from the way that millennials were raised, by and large. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure where this philosophy came from, but I know that it was the philosophy we were raised with. It became very kid-centric, all about you. You can be whatever you want to be, you know, self-esteem. And, you know, again, came from a good place, but it was very much just celebrating the individual. And that is, you know, what we were raised with. And I think, you know, once you're raised with that kind of mentality where it's all about you and you're the most important thing and, you know, you're so special and, you know, you are special, but, you know, when that's kind of you're so self-focused, then you start to interpret the Bible. You think, well, you know, if that person thinks that it means this, then who am I to say otherwise? Or, you know, if this person, they want to live their life that way, then, you know, how dare I say something else because they're following their dreams. They're doing what, you know, what they're supposed to do. You do you kind of thing. And that's very much the culture that we were raised in. And so, again, if you didn't have parents that really, you could have even been raised in a Christian household, but if your parents weren't, you know, very clear and your church community was not very clear about how there are biblical standards and, you know, having patience and love does not mean accepting something that God says is a sin, you know, then you are going to easily fall into that and you're going to miss the truth of the Bible and misinterpret it to just think it means whatever makes people happy.
And then with that, you have concepts like your truth and your reality. And when that's now fueled by the church preaching a gospel of self-esteem, rather than the church changing the world, the church just bought into the world's philosophy and baptizes it in Christian terms, and you end up with this kind of insanity. Someone saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I don't see any problem with someone in a costume reading to toddler. Yeah, well, it's one thing if the costume is like a lion or a bear. It's another thing as a man parading or masquerading as a woman in exaggerated form. And Liberty, you mentioned your generation looking for justice, equality. I was thinking a few days ago, growing up as a kid in the 60s, early 70s, we were all about peace and love, and of course we went about it the wrong way, and it became the whole sex, drugs, rock and roll, Eastern religion deception. This generation is all about justice and equality, which we have to say, hey, that's positive, that's great, but you're going about it the wrong way. How do you reach your generation? How do you convey these things to them in a way that you can be absolutely unbendingly dogmatic scripturally and yet speak to them in a way that hits that, touches that button, scratches that itch about the need for justice and equality?
Well, I think it's really key, excuse me, for Christians to not write off millennials and their desire for justice because, you know, history kind of works in cycles. You know, we deal with things, you know, one decade kind of people deal with one issue, and so there are a lot of issues coming to the forefront in our culture and society that do need to be dealt with, and maybe some inequalities that, you know, have not been addressed in the past. Mm-hmm. So instead of just writing it off as, oh, that's just, you know, millennials, social justice warriors, whatever, I think the church can really say, hey, maybe there are some points there. Maybe there really is a problem. And you can say, well, the millennials are going about it the wrong way. They're not, and you have to realize that God does want justice, but what a lot of culture is pursuing is not justice. It just leads to further destruction and further hurt and pain. And so the way that the church and Christian millennials can react is to come forward and say, hey, I see the problem that you're addressing. I agree that it's very important, but, you know, God is the God of justice. He is the creator of justice, and this is how we're going to approach it, and this is how, you know, we're going to correct things maybe that were wrong in the past or places we messed up in the past, but we're going to stick to what God says because we know that is the ultimate justice. So you can approach it with saying, you know, you find common ground, but you don't have to give up any of what you know to be true based on the Bible.
Yeah, and I appreciate you reiterating that the church shouldn't write off millennials. I was in China some years ago with a delegation that traveled with Franklin Graham to meet with Chinese leaders. And there was a younger guy there, pastor, his church was growing rapidly. He was kind of shocked that he was part of the entourage. And so I spent time with him talking about the younger generation. And he said, yeah, first affirm the things that are right in terms of the bird. Don't just write the whole thing off. See that there are things that they're sensitive to. And then from there, get them to the truth of the gospel. Hey, Liberty, we've got a minute before the break, but if you could just say a word to pastors and parents, what would you tell them about raising their kids today?
I would say, you know, just be very firm in teaching the Bible and really focus on that. Studies show that Christian households where families pray together and read the Bible together and really focus on that all the time, those are the kids that end up keeping the faith. And I would just say, you know, don't feel like you have to dress it up or make it cool. The gospel is appealing in and of itself, and that's what millennials and, you know, the younger kids are so hungry for. So we don't want anything cool or flashy that we think that, oh, the church is just pandering to us. Just give us the gospel, stay committed to that. And in the end, I think a lot of people will see that and be attracted to that.
Awesome. Great words, Liberty. We've got to have you back to continue the discussion. You said, I got to read what this young lady has to say. Go to stream.org. Stream.org. And every week, you'll be reading cutting-edge columns from Liberty. She's addressing the gun control issue, the perspective of the students. Stream.org. Look for Liberty McCarter. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, there are times you just kind of wake up and look at the world around you and think, has the whole world gone crazy? From Planned Parenthood in Kentucky, tweeting out, some men have a uterus, repeating it 10 times as if repeating something nonsensical makes it so. And then you go from there to universities that have banned certain feminist speakers because they're transphobic, because the feminists are saying, well, these men that identify as women aren't really women. You know, there was contention at the Women's March. The men who identify as women get to be part of the Women's March. And you look around and say, what in the world is happening in our world? Let me give you another example. Totally different subject. But in Chicago, where there is lots and lots of gun violence and strict gun control laws there, all right? Lots and lots of gun violence. I'm reading an article the other day, for a few days back. There is now a proposed task force aiming to curb shootings at funerals. There's so much gang violence in Chicago that they're proposing a task force. And look, I'm not condemning people there. God knows how some of them were raised. Some of them were raised with two strikes against them to start in all kinds of rough conditions. These people need the gospel, all right? These gang members, these kids that are growing up need the gospel. But what kind of world is it where in America, not some war-torn nation of rebel groups shooting each other at funerals, but in America. You need a task force in one of our major cities to look into curbing shooting at funerals. All right, something totally different. Again, just it's one of these days you wake up and you look at everything around you and think, has the world gone totally off its rocker? How about this? There are now people speaking out. Here's an award-winning comedian reported by The Telegraph in UK. She is accusing cancer research of, quote, fat shaming for launching a campaign against obesity. This comedian, Sophie Hagen, herself from the picture, she looks to be a little heavy. She is accusing cancer research of fat shaming because they want to talk about the dangers of obesity. Now you think, okay, what's that got to do with the Chicago shootings? Nothing. Just examples of some news items that came my way in the same day, and I was thinking, what is happening in the world around us, all right? But I can go back to the fat-shaming thing and tie it into what I was talking to Liberty about a few moments ago in terms of it's fine for a drag queen to read to toddlers. I mean, that's what's wrong with the costume and exercise patience and love and don't judge. And then what's even called a phenomenon, helicopter parents, so-called because they're constantly hovering over their children and have to protect them from any negative outcome of any kind. So you have situations in school now where kids have competitions, but they play a sport, but then at the end, they don't keep the score. Why? Because everybody has to win because no one can lose. Where every day you have to get sent home with some type of affirmation. Otherwise, your kid's not okay. And look, I'm all for affirming. I doubt that you could find a parent raising their kids that was much more affirming than I was. And Nancy, she hands out her praise very, very carefully. There was some work that was being done on a house the other day, and I asked how it went, and she said the guys did a fantastic job. And I don't hear those words often, but fantastic. That's incredible. You know, she'd tell the girls the truth. She's a loving, devoted mom, but she was not one to just flatter them all day. And, you know, but I was constantly telling them how special they were and how beautiful they were and how wonderful they were and all of that. And, you know, Nancy would, she'd be very truthful with them. And it was the rock foundation of our household. But she was not one for just throwing out platitudes. You know, I could maybe do it too much that it could almost get cheap. So I'm all for affirmation. But we need a little realism. Is that too much to ask? We need a little realism. We need the reality that not everybody wins. We need the reality that people go through tough times. We need the reality that life is not fair. These are realities. But no, you can't even have a campaign to help people with compassion, with support, to help people get in better shape because you don't want them to die prematurely of heart disease or develop other diseases that could be preventable. Or wither away from complications of type 2 diabetes when it can be reversed through dietary change and exercise. You love people, you want to help. No, you can't do that because it's fat shaming. Yeah, you can fat shame someone just like you can shame them for being Jewish or shame them for being white or shame them for being black or you can shame somebody for anything. We could be derogatory and nasty and negative and hurtful to people. I'm talking about coming alongside of someone and saying, hey, can we help you? Can we work with you to help you with your diet and lifestyle? No, that's fat shaming. What do you say? What do you say, friends? Part of the crazy world in which we live today. Here's an article. Robin Abkarian writing about the Oscars in the LA Times. In the ladies' room at the Oscars, a transgender moment signals a cultural shift with a picture there of Sam Britton. I didn't know who Sam was or Brinton until just a couple of days ago when I saw a GoFundMe campaign by Sam asking for gender-fluid heels, wanted to have some really nice stilettos. And here this woman Robin is saying on Sunday night in a restroom at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, I was washing my hands when someone in a crimson ball gown swept past me towards the stalls. There was something about this person's energy that was different than that of other women who were milling around, redoing their lipstick, chatting about the Oscar show. It's because it's not a woman. It's a man who identifies as a woman or gender fluid, called gender fluid LGBTQ activist. Sam may be a very nice person in many ways, and Sam may be very happy about his life right now, but the reason that he had a different feel than the other women in the bathroom is because he's not a woman. But if I dare say that, I am heavily transphobic. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, and of course, got to use the right preferred pronoun, must do that. You say, don't you want to be sensitive to people? I do. I absolutely do. I wrestle with these things. I weep over people that struggle. I've walked the streets of cities like New York at night where, you know, you might see more gay couples out in the streets or more people dressing, you know, cross-dressing or identifying as transgender or various variations in between. And I've walked the streets saying, God, I don't want to hurt anyone. I want to help people. And I know in their perspective, they're just living their lives out. But friends, the world is going crazy around us. It's losing its sense of reality. 866-34-TRUTH. And Wade, I don't have time to get to your call now. But the question, where are things going? That's the big question, sir. That's the big question. If there is not a course corrective, in other words, if we don't wake up to the reality of what's happening in the world around us, if we don't wake up to the insanity of disputing the existence of male and female categories as distinctive and recognizing that there are two genders, not 200 or 2,000, if we don't wake up to the recognition of the role of the mother and the role of the father, if we don't wake up to the reality that truth is not whatever I perceive it to be, that there is no such thing as my truth, your truth, meaning that doesn't change the truth. If it's raining outside right now, when I came up to my office, it was 41 degrees and raining. Well, my truth might be it's 70 degrees and sunny, but that is not truth. And my reality may be that I'm 18 years old and a Viking, but that's not reality. So there is no such thing absolutely as my truth, my reality. There is reality, there is truth. As the famous saying of a former congressman, everyone's entitled to their own opinions. You're not entitled to your own facts. Friends, the world is going crazy around us. It's been going crazy since Adam and Eve fell. And I don't know how much crazier it's going to get before the Lord returns, whether that's in 2 years or 20 years or 50 years, whatever God knows. This much I know, we have the answer with the gospel. Let us not swim with the current. Let us not go with the tide. Let us be people who obey the Lord, who speak God's truth to a confused world, speaking it in love, speaking it without compromise. We need a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Let the work start with you. Let the world start with me. And a reminder, if you find yourself confused, struggling, in upheaval, great verse from the Psalms, the Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. Truth remains the reality. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I came into the world to bear witness to the truth. We have the truth of the gospel. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Speak the truth, whether people understand or not. Speak the truth. And friends, if you appreciate us speaking the truth, go to our website today, AskDrBrown.org. Help us to get the message out to more and more people. Your help, your support, it's invaluable. We don't talk about money a lot, but friends, we need it like everyone else. Go to the website now, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click donate and help us to spread the truth around the world. Back with you tomorrow.